There's a moment on Apple TV's Prehistoric Planet, for which BJ Lederman does not do the theme music, but he does ours, where a CGI raptor picks up a burning twig from a forest fire and waves it underneath its feathers.
Smoke is an insecticide. And it can help an animal to get rid of its parasites.
Sir David Attenborough sounds convincing, but reporter Alexander Turk has some questions.
Now, don't get me wrong, dinosaurs using fire is very cool, but I was skeptical. Later in the show, a different raptor even spreads the fire further, using another twig. I can get why we know so much about what the dinos looked like, but how can we look inside their minds? I called up the folks behind the show, and turns out I picked the best time to ask.
We're really in a golden age of dinosaurs.
That's paleontologist Darren Neisch, one of the show's scientific consultants.
People are finding, you know, just so many new species all over the world, but then also in terms of the information we have about their biology, their sensory abilities, what they actually look like.
Neisch says there's three main buckets of new data: fossils, computer models, and observing living creatures.
There's also been a great overturning of thinking about the behavior of the living animals that are related to dinosaurs. So dinosaurs aren't extinct, birds are living dinosaurs.
Turns out, watching the closest living descendants of the dinos we know and love is how they came to the conclusion about the pyromaniac raptor.
Quite a long list of predatory birds, kites and falcons and hawks. They've been reported to pick up burning sticks and move them around to spread fire. And these birds have also been reported to grab burning sticks and deliberately treat their feathers with smoke.
Okay, that's one mystery solved.
It is an extrapolation to show it in an extinct dinosaur, but it's one that we can justify.
But how do you coordinate five episodes of dead dinos and their quirky behaviors, and make sure it all holds up to snuff? Here's Mike Gutton, executive producer of this show and Planet Earth 2.
To make the picture that you see on the screen, we are pulling on dozens and dozens of separate threads and trying to weave them together. So there's paleoecologists, there's paleoclimatologists, there's paleoethologists, there's fossil people, there's every single thing you can imagine.
Ecologists were crucial to one scene where a triceratops herd eats nutritious but toxic plants. They have medicine, though, underground.
This is the antidote, a special clay. These are known as claylicks, and they're visited time and again.
Gathering this multidisciplinary approach means that the sum is far, far greater than the parts.
Gutton says that the computer models of the dinos can be so realistic, it actually helps scientists make conclusions they couldn't before.
Maybe it can't turn that quickly. Well, that's interesting. So maybe it was a stalker rather than an ambush, or it was a sprinter, or, you know, so there's some really interesting extrapolations and cross-fertilizations between the filmmakers, the animators, and the scientific community, which I think is something that we would love to develop more.
All this adds up to what Gutton calls a fuzzy picture of the truth.
There's so many slip catchers, if you like, in this procedure that we almost can't go off the tracks because there's so many things keeping us true.
What I really love is just all the creative ways that we can pull all of these different lines of evidence into creating a sort of holistic picture of dinosaurs as living animals.
I asked Victoria Arbour, a paleontologist and another consultant on the show, what it was like to see the object of your studies come to life on a screen in front of you.
I often sit and I work with like bits and pieces and, you know, individual bones, or sometimes I get to work with really exceptional specimens that are really complete, but it's not the same as looking at a living animal.
That's what Gutton says he hopes viewers take away from Prehistoric Planet 2, a new perspective on some old bones.
We wanted to try and see if we could effectively make the 21st century template for how we, the public, see this world.
So, the bottom line, says paleontologist Darren Neisch.
These animals weren't boring, they weren't like behaviorally simple, they were almost certainly, no, they were doing complex things.
Case closed. For NPR News, I'm Alexander Turk.